how we screwed this up. This is on us, Kat. Both of us. No one else. My voice rises. I'm ready to lay it all out when a giggle precedes the entry of another couple into the restaurant, and I go silent. A tall man with dark blonde hair and tanned skin leads a dark-haired woman into the dining area. She's wearing heels more fit for a runway than the wooden walkways outside, and her dress looks like it's meant for clubbing rather than chilling on an island in Belize. Kat's attention shifts to them, and she shrinks back into her chair. She's the most confident woman I know when it comes to business and work, but that self-confidence has never extended beyond that. She doesn't realize how fucking beautiful she is, and it's maddening to me. I never would have thought the Ariana thing would wring that kind of reaction from Kat. Maybe if she had paid attention to anything I said, it wouldn't be an issue right now. The couple takes a table about 10 feet from us, which annoys the shit out of me. There's an entire restaurant available, and we could both have relatively private dinners if they'd chosen one on the other side of the room, but they don't. There's no reason for them to sit by the windows either, because it's full dark now and there's nothing to see except the tiki torches stuck in the sand on the beach between the palm trees. Kat drops her attention to her drink and polishes off the second one. I have a suspicion I know exactly where tonight is headed if she keeps drinking. She'll be passed out within 10 minutes of getting back to the room. She can handle her wine and martinis, but any time there's a tropical mixed drink, the sugar combined with the alcohol puts her in a coma. Eduardo returns with the guacamole and plantain chips, and Kat lifts her glass into the air. "Can I have another?" Called that one. "Of course, ma'am. I'll also have your dinner out shortly." He returns to the bar with her glass while Andreas settles in the other couple. The man is seated facing me, but his eyes have been on Kat since he sat down. A deep burn starts in the pit of my gut. Maybe my wife isn't the only one with jealousy issues while she's feeling less than confident in where we stand. He's slick. I can't place his heritage, something European, maybe Spanish or Portuguese or Italian. Shit, even Greek with that darker olive complexion. I can't place him until I hear him speak. My accent identification is pretty solid, but my brother's was better. He was the language junkie. Spoke 4, and that was before he learned Arabic when we joined the army. As always, thoughts of him rip through me about as subtly as the IED that tore through him. My life would have been completely different if he hadn't died. I would have stayed in the service. I wouldn't have ended up in South America trading the desert for the jungle with Rome Hennessy's crew. I wouldn't have met Kat. But I guess that's how it works. Sometimes the darkest moments in life set us on a course to find the brightest ones. My philosophizing comes to a quick end when Kat shifts in her chair and her dress strap slides down over her shoulder, onto her arm. The asshole at the table behind us drops his gaze and trails it over her skin like she should be on the menu. It's been a long time since I've thrown punches in a restaurant, but I'm willing to make an exception if he doesn't. The man must feel my angry attention on him because he shoots me a look and gives me a small nod. I choose to interpret the nod as, "Sorry, I fucked up staring at your woman." Eduardo picks that moment to return carrying a tray loaded down with 2 large plates and Kat's drink. "Here you go, ma'am, and your lobster." He sets the drink and then the dish in front of Kat, and the scent of butter and lime hits my nose. "And your snapper, sir. Now, if you need anything at all, please don't hesitate to ask." Kat smiles up at him sweetly, but I see the strain behind it now. "Thank you so much. It truly looks delicious." Eduardo returns her smile and steps away to collect his tray. Kat digs into her lobster and silence reigns at our table as we both eat. I keep one eye on the asshole at the table behind us while he orders snifter after snifter of liquor. Probably brandy or something equally pretentious. His woman drinks champagne and giggles at annoyingly frequent intervals. I block it out the best I can. "How's the lobster?" I ask as Kat pops another chunk into her mouth. She finishes chewing before she answers. "Amazing. How's your fish?" "The filet is 90% gone already. I guess I was hungrier than I realized." "Very good." This is the point at dinner when Kat would usually reach for her phone and check her emails, and I'd lose her completely. There's no Wi-Fi on this island, and I've been told cell reception is spotty at best. That's part of the reason I picked it, because I figured it would force us to learn how to have a real conversation again. I just didn't expect we'd both go silent like this. I run through the list of topics we usually cover. The house, the neighbors, her work, her employees, her clients. The end. Fucking pitiful. "What do you think about snorkeling tomorrow, or maybe seeing if they'll take us out on one of the catamarans so we can take a better look around the island and check out the reef? We could do some diving later this week." Kat's gaze cuts to mine as she swallows another bite of lobster. I'd love to snorkel, or sail, or dive. I'll set it up. I only brought gear for snorkeling, so I'm hoping their dive equipment is solid. Kat stills, her fork in midair.
I didn't bring anything.
I didn't expect you would. I brought your mask and snorkel. You can borrow flippers.
Thank you for thinking of me.
I give her a meaningful look. I always think of you, Kat. Always. She lowers her fork to the plate and bites her lip for a moment before finally asking the question I know she's been holding on to since we were interrupted earlier.
You're sure that nothing happened? You didn't ever...
I drop my fork with a clank on the plate. No, never. You and I took vows, we made promises. We may not have done a hell of a good job honoring and cherishing, but I would never disrespect you or our marriage that way. Never. And the fact that you think I could pisses me off. It's probably not the right way to keep the lines of communication open, but I need her to understand how serious I am.
Okay, I get it. You took me by surprise there. I thought maybe...
Why? Why would you think that? Honestly, the fact that you even raised it as an issue makes me wonder if you've got something you need to confess. Kat's eyes bulge. Good. She better fucking look shocked, otherwise there would be some businessman turning up missing and never to be found again when we got back home.
Are you seriously accusing me of...
I can't even say it. Are you really going there? Her voice rises, and the man seated at the table behind us glances over in our direction. If I were, your reaction is all I need to know that you wouldn't. Instead of picking up her fork, Kat reaches for her cocktail and takes a long drink. When she lowers it back to the table, her voice is quieter.
No, I wouldn't.
There's no room for reading anything into her response. I believe her. With my resources, I could easily keep tabs on everyone she comes in contact with on a daily basis, but I don't. Why? Because I trust my wife. Even if there's a barrier between us, it's one we created, not one caused by someone else. She drains her drink and signals for Eduardo, and then she orders another. Fuck it. I ask for another beer, too. We finish our dinner making small talk and not speaking another meaningful word. One step forward, two steps back.
Chapter 14. Kat. The island is pitch black when we leave the restaurant to return to our room. Living in Houston, you forget what it's like to see true darkness. The moon is a thin crescent and provides almost no light. Clouds sweep across the sky, covering the stars before letting them wink into the blackness again. Dane, who I swear had to be a Boy Scout in another life, fishes a small flashlight out of his pocket and turns it on. A bright white beam illuminates the wooden path in front of us, and the thing on it. I scream and jump back 3 feet rather than moving forward. At first, I think it might just be the fact that I downed 4 cocktails like my life depended on it, because I couldn't get the picture of some woman with her arms wrapped around my husband out of my head. But no, there's definitely something moving. I scream again when it comes closer.
Jesus fucking Christ, Kat, what?
The flashlight beam bounces before it zeroes in on the creature. I grip Dane's shoulder, 2 seconds from climbing up on his back.
What the hell is that? I almost stepped on it.
I suck in a breath, letting the words trail off as my heart hammers.
The crab?
A crab? More like a blue-shelled monster the diameter of a salad plate with 1 big claw waving above its head. The creature scuttles off the path and out of the light. Dane shifts the flashlight beam to follow it, and I hide behind his back and peek over. Oh, God. The crab isn't alone. I scoot back another step, almost losing my balance, when I see at least 12 more of these monsters creeping their way across the sand toward a pile of fallen coconuts.
They're harmless. Just don't step on one. You might get pinched.
Harmless? Clearly, we have different definitions of the word.
Did you see that claw? I'd lose a toe. Or a limb.
I could be exaggerating in my fairly inebriated state, but I don't care.
He's more scared of you than you are of him.
I roll my eyes, but Dane can't see my face to appreciate it.
That's such a bullshit answer. People always say that when it's not even true. You think it has enough brain cells to process fear? I don't. That monster crab, which, by the way, looks like he stepped in that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle radioactive goo and got supersized, isn't freaking scared of shit. He'd probably be laughing with all of his crab buddies about how loud I screamed, if he was capable. I turned toward the group of crabs. Maybe you'd be scared if I were dropping you in a pot to eat. How about that? Dane chokes out a laugh, but I'm too busy giving the double bird to the crabs as they creep away. Yeah, run, you little multi-legged freak show. Now you're scared, right? I turn back toward Dane as he chuckles. The glow of the flashlight gives me enough light to see his face, and his lips are indeed tilted up.
They definitely know who's boss.
I lift my chin.
Obviously.
He points the flashlight ahead of us on the path, and sure enough, several more crabs scurry out of the beam, some way too close for comfort. I don't think about it this time. I throw myself at Dane and climb him like a spider monkey.
Shit, what are you?
They're not scared of me, I whisper, clinging to his shoulders. But I might be the tiniest bit scared of them, even though they know I'm the boss. Dane shifts me in his arms and hefts me higher. I'm not the lightest girl in the world, but it's good to know he can still handle my weight. He spends plenty of time in the gym, so it's not a huge surprise, but now I have to wonder if he's working out with Ariana. I say the name in a snotty voice in my head. Petty jealousy, that's all it is. He said nothing happened, and I believe him. Dane wouldn't lie to me. If I actually paid closer attention to the things he told me, I wouldn't have been quite so shocked, because I would have already been aware of Ariana's existence. I'm putting it out of my head. Over and done with. Buried. At least I know I'm good at that. Dane takes a step forward, and I wrap my arms more securely around his neck. He smells freaking amazing, and my thoughts from earlier come back. My husband is hot, and it's been way too long since I've taken the time to appreciate it properly. The wind whips off the ocean in the distance, and a chunk of my hair escapes my messy bun and flies into my face. Dane tucks it behind my ear before clicking off the flashlight.
Hey!
I grip him tighter.
Look up.
What?
Just do it.
My nature demands I ask more questions, but instead, I follow his quiet order and look up.
Oh, wow,
I whisper. The clouds have cleared, and stars, big and brilliant against the inky blackness, illuminate the sky. I've never understood the whole diamonds in the sky analogy, living where I have. Stars are stars, nothing incredible. I'd never seen them like this before, though.
Amazing, isn't it?
Incredible. I squeeze him tighter and lose track of time as it occurs to me just how insignificant I am in the grand scheme of life. It seems there's nothing like millions of sparkling stars to make you feel both awestruck and inconsequential. It's a reminder I need. I spend so much time down in the weeds, dealing with problems for clients that seem monumental in that moment. I lose sight of everything else. Maybe that's by design, so I don't have time to think about the big picture. As I look at those stars, I make a vow to remember how tiny I feel right now. To remember that the issues in my life are rarely life and death, and give myself the permission to breathe. I just hope I remember this tomorrow. Freaking purple rain.
How good are your navigation by the stars skills?
Dane asks, interrupting the silence. I laugh at his question.
I would have to go with non-existent.
Dane lifts our joined hands into the air and points at the one constellation that I can identify.
You know the Big Dipper, right? Ursa Major.
Yes, but not the fancy term.
Follow the last star up, and you'll find the brightest star in the sky. Polaris, the North Star, part of the Little Dipper.
Ursa Minor?
Good girl.
The North Star will always get you home. I laugh because there's no way, even with that knowledge, I would be able to find my way home. Maybe it'll always get you home, but I'm a different story. Dane lowers me to the ground, so I face him.
That's what you got me for.
For now, at least. We both stare up into the sky for long moments before voices come from behind us. Dane clicks on the flashlight again.
There shouldn't be anything else you need to worry about out here,
he says as we move toward our cabana. Are you sure? No man-eating alligators? Or crazy jungle cats? I try to think of some other kind of tropical predators and come up empty.
This island is too small to have a jungle or any cats. There are jaguars on the mainland, though, and no alligators, but there are crocs in the rivers and lagoons.
All of a sudden, this island thing is sounding safer and safer. He steps onto the pier leading to our door.
This island is about as safe as it gets. People are definitely the biggest concern here.
There's probably a lot of truth to that statement.
They have a reputation to protect for tourists to come here, so it's not like they'd let anything happen, right?
Dane stops in front of the door to the cabana, and I wobble when I reach out and the railing shifts under my palm. He extends a hand to steady me.
Careful. I don't want to have to go diving for you tonight.
I look out into the blackness of the ocean. There are a few lights from islands in the distance, but not many. We're truly isolated.
I don't want to go in the water at night, so we're on the same page there.
He shoves the key into the lock.
Good, because I can't vouch for what's swimming around in it when I can't see.
A shiver of fear creeps up my spine, and goosebumps rise on my skin. What could be out there? I'm not sure why I think Dane is the authority on ocean baddies, but I guarantee he knows more about it than I do, given his love of snorkeling and diving. He shoves open the door and flips on the light inside. I follow him in as he shuts the door.
The worst of the bunch would probably be the hammerheads, black tips, bulls, and tigers.
Sharks? I spin around and pin him with what has to be my, oh my God, tell me I've got this all wrong, look.
How can that surprise you?
Intellectually, I know sharks live in the ocean and swim around and eat things, but on all of our myriad vacations where we were in the ocean, I never once considered that the ones I've seen on Shark Week would be so freaking close. I picture nurse sharks, harmless ones like we've swum with. It's not like I signed on to jump in and swim with the great whites.
Does this mean you don't want to snorkel or dive?
There's humor and a note of challenge in Dane's words, and I have to admit I'm probably being ridiculous, but still. Sharks.
Am I going to die?
Dane reaches out and cups my chin.
Not a chance.
After a moment's hesitation, he adds,
You're too fucking stubborn to let anything take you out before you're ready.
I'm not sure whether that's supposed to be a compliment or not, but I decide to take it as one.
Damn right, I whisper.
Dane's hand lifts again, skims along my cheek, and slides into my hair. His head tilts right before his lips take mine. God, how long has it been since he kissed me? Long enough that I've forgotten how much I love it, how much I've missed it. Dane's other hand closes around my hip as he deepens the kiss and pulls me against his body. Then a jiggling of the door handle interrupts us, and we break apart.
What the fuck?
Dane steps around me to grab the inside knob and unlock it before pulling the door open.
Can I help you?
He asks, but his tone doesn't sound remotely helpful in the least.
Oh, shit. Sorry, man. Thought this was our room. Guess we had a few too many drinks today. Simple mistake.
The words carry a hint of a British accent, and I try to look around Dane to get a better view, but his wide shoulders block the doorway. Absently, I wonder if that's on purpose and he's being protective. It has to be the other people from the restaurant, especially if we're the only two couples on the island, so I can't imagine they're any kind of threat.
Definitely not your room. Don't know which one is, so I can't help you.
A woman giggles, and my assumption is confirmed. I worked hard to block her out at dinner, but wasn't completely successful.
Sir, miss, do you need some assistance?
Another voice comes from outside, but farther away. Maybe one of the workers on the island?
You got a flashlight? We can't seem to locate our villa, the man calls. Of course. Please come with me, sir. Watch your step. Sorry. Hopefully we didn't interrupt anything important.
The man shifts, and I finally catch a glimpse of his face over Dane's shoulder. Icy blue eyes lock on me.
My apologies.
Dane nods before shutting the door. A little rude, but so is trying to get into our bungalow, thinking it's theirs.
After locking the door again and checking the handle, Dane turns back around to face me.
They really need to put some lights in or something so people can find their rooms, or hand out flashlights when you check in.
Something, Dane says.
A yawn works its way up from the depths of my soul, and I cover my mouth with my hand. I don't even know what time it is, but I just hit the wall, and I'm sure the alcohol didn't help.
Dane picks up a bottle of water from the dresser and hands it to me. You need to hydrate, and then you need some sleep.
I take the bottle from him, knowing he's right, but with the clock ticking down on us, the last thing I want is to give in to the urge to sleep. Time feels more precious now than it has since my mom passed away. Maybe that's the way it's supposed to be.
We only have 9 days left.
Dane meets my gaze, understanding the meaning behind my words well.
We won't waste them.
Chapter 15. Cat.
I wake up the same way I fell asleep, in an empty bed. Dane showered again after dinner, and I tried to stay awake, thinking I could salvage day 1 of 10 by reminding him how good we are when we're naked. But alcohol and exhaustion got the better of me, and I passed out moments after the water came on. I told myself it wasn't a big deal because I was going to wake him up in a way he wouldn't forget and start the day off right. But apparently he woke up before me, which screws up my plans. Tossing the coverlet off, I roll over and pause. The room is quiet, but for the sound of the wind and the ocean outside. Where could he have gone? If there's a gym on this island, he'd definitely find it, but I don't remember him mentioning that. With a swing of my legs off the bed, my feet hit the floor and I rise. As I stretch my arms over my head, more questions start filtering in. What the hell time is it anyway? Where is my phone? Why didn't he wake me up? Shoving my hair out of my face, I make my way to the bathroom to take care of business and attempt to look human after sleeping like the dead. But we made progress last night. At least, I think we did. I cross to my suitcase and select a coral sundress that's mostly unwrinkled, as well as cute and fun, so I can go in search of Dane and coffee. I slide my feet into a pair of gold Havaianas, adjust the straps of the dress, and find my sunglasses before I unlock the door to the cabana and step outside. Brilliant white light hits my eyes first, and I shove my shades into place. Holy shit. Outside, there's nothing but blue ocean, and with the sun sparkling off the surface, it practically glitters. It's blindingly bright, but I stand in awe for a few minutes, watching birds dive into the water and resurface before I remember I'm on a mission. Stepping carefully down the pier, I make my way to solid ground and step off the path into the sand, drawn to the lure of the beach at sunrise. It seems my feet know which way to carry me to Dane, even if I don't realize it. Much like the first time I laid eyes on him, he strides out of the ocean, pulling his mask off his face. And just like the first time I saw him, the word mine flashes through my brain. He lifts his other hand into the air, holding two things I can't identify. One is a pole with a hook at the end, and the other is... a lobster? No freaking way!
I win that bet, he calls as he comes toward me.
What the hell did you do? I ask, kicking off my flip-flops and leaving them behind as I jog down to the water's edge.
I caught you a lobster.
He holds it by the long antenna. He cannot be fucking serious. Oh my god!
Want to see if we can get the kitchen to make you a lobster omelet for breakfast?
Dane comes toward me, swinging the creature, and I scream. If I thought the crabs last night were creepy, I'm not sure I want to get up close and personal with this guy. Just because I like to eat them doesn't mean I want to give them a chance to pinch me. Watch the claws. Isn't he going to try to get me? Dane shakes his head.
Caribbean lobsters don't have claws like Atlantic lobsters. He can't get you.
He holds it out by the antenna like he expects me to take it from him. Are you insane?
Not even a little. Take it up to the restaurant, order a mimosa, and ask them to start cooking it for you for breakfast. I'll shower and meet you there.
His suggestion that I order a mimosa comes as a surprise. Did you really just tell me to get a drink for breakfast? He nods.
You're on vacation. so act like it. He notices the one accessory I'm missing.
Maybe you already are. No phone. Good girl.
I laugh. Like it would do any good here.
True. I gotta go rinse. Meet you there?
What can I order you?
Scrambled eggs and bacon, if they have it. You know what I like.
The way he says it fills me with a rush of warmth that rivals the heat of the sun beating down on us both. Like we haven't lost the familiarity between us. It gives me hope.
Okay.
Dane leans in and brushes a kiss across my lips.
When he backs away, he takes my fingers and wraps them around the lobster antenna. Go see if you can shock the kitchen by bringing your own lobster. I'll see you in a few, babe.
He steps back to head for the cabana, and I slide my flip-flops back on, holding my arm out straight as I carefully carry a freaking live lobster to the restaurant. Eduardo laughs his ass off when I walk in, fresh catch in hand, but doesn't have a problem asking the kitchen to prepare lobster omelets. I take a seat at the same table we chose last night, and within a few minutes, I'm sipping delicious coffee. It's almost like I can feel the stress melting away in waves. I'm lost in the serene setting and the peacefulness of the moment, so I don't notice the man standing behind me until Eduardo crosses the room.
Sir, is there anything I can do for you?
I jerk my head around, thankful I've almost emptied my cup because I probably would have sloshed coffee over the side with my abrupt action. It's the man from last night, the one at dinner and later at our room mistakenly. His gaze stays on mine, even when he speaks to Eduardo.
I'll have what she's having. It looks divine. Of course, sir.
Eduardo steps away, and the man comes around the table to stand with a hand on the back of Dane's chair. He reaches out to me with the other.
Vander Iman.
The British accent I thought I detected last night is definitely there, but mixed with something else. Years of being polite to strangers in the name of business kicks in, and I extend my hand to shake his. Katerina Cross. When I try to pull back, he holds on for a beat too long.
You seem to be missing your companion this morning.
I smile, but it feels tight and fake on my face. He's on his way.
I wouldn't leave you alone long either. Some opportunistic gentleman might come and try to charm you away.
Vander's tone is flirtatious and sets me on edge. Where the hell is his girlfriend or wife or whatever? He has no reason to be worried. I turn the conversation back on him, hoping to kill the borderline inappropriate vibe I'm getting. Are you here on your honeymoon? He laughs.
No, nothing like that.
Thankfully, before I have to think of something else to say, a giggle announces the arrival of Vander's companion. My gaze cuts to the entrance, and the rush of relief I feel swiftly changes when I see the brunette clinging like a limpet to Dane's arm.
Thank you so much. I'm so clumsy. I guess these heels aren't meant to be worn here.
You could say that again. She's wearing 5-inch stilettos you're more likely to see at the Victoria's Secret fashion show, or a stripper pole, and not on an island with no solid flat surfaces. In fact, given her perfect figure, towering height, and hair to die for, I wouldn't be surprised if she has walked a runway, or worked a pole.
Might want to trade those in for flip-flops, Dane comments. Anya, did you have some kind of mishap?
Vander releases his hold on Dane's chair. Anya. What is it with exotic-sounding A-names lately?
She almost broke an ankle coming inside.
Dane says, his gaze zeroing in on Vander. And, of course, he rescued her, because that's what Dane does. Where is this jealousy coming from? I shove it down and lock it away.
Thank you for your assistance, Dane. I appreciate it.
Her familiar use of his name and overly friendly smile would have caused another flare of jealousy, but Dane is frowning at Vander. Is he feeling the same thing? Vander adjusts his watch on his wrist, moving away from the table and holding out his hand to Dane.
Thank you for your assistance, sir. I'm sure you understand what it's like to try to reason with a woman who packs an entire suitcase full of shoes, even for a weekend away.
Anya rolls her eyes playfully.
Says the man with the foot fetish who loves that I bring all the shoes. Don't let him fool you. Vander might grouse, but I wouldn't have so many shoes had he not bought them for me. What the hell? Foot fetish? Did he look at my feet? Wow, Kat, calm down. Dane shakes his hand.
Vander Iman, thank you so much for looking after Anya. I've been keeping your beautiful wife company. Dane Cross.
His voice is gruffer than normal. Maybe he is jealous. The men take each other's measure. Dane's dark hair is a contrast to Vander's dirty blonde. Dane's tattoos make him appear more dangerous than the Brit with the boat shoes and fancy watch. They release each other's hands, and Vander steps back.
Enjoy your breakfast with your wife.
Dane nods.
Likewise.
This is definitely making the list as one of the most awkward moments on this trip. Eduardo breaks the tension, taking drink orders. Vander and Anya settle at their own table as Dane takes the seat across from me.
Everything okay?
He asks, his gaze darting over my shoulder, no doubt to the other couple.
Fine.
Anya's obnoxious laugh fills the room again, grating on my nerves, even though I try to ignore it. So you're catching lobsters and rescuing strange women this morning?
She tripped out front, stepping off the boardwalk onto the cement.
He keeps his voice low when he adds,
I'm glad you didn't pack shit like that. There's a time and a place, but it's not here or now.
I know we're both thinking about the comment she made. Foot fetish. With a cough, I cover my own amusement and reach for my napkin. I'm glad you're not into feet. A small smile stretches Dane's lips, and he chuckles.
I'm not saying I don't like your feet, but there are other parts of you I like a hell of a lot better.
His gaze dips meaningfully to the V in the neckline of my sundress, and a warm flush prickles over my skin. All thoughts of Vander and Victoria's Secret Barbie disappear. I'm deciding how to reply when Eduardo returns with our drinks.
We're supposed to impress you with catching breakfast, Mr. Cross, instead of the other way around.
Dane reaches for his Bloody Mary.
Sometimes a man has to fend for himself, just to prove he can. I suppose you're right. Would you like to do some more fishing today? We're happy to cook your fresh catch.
Dane glances out the window and points to the catamaran moored about 30 feet from the beach.
Do you take people out for day trips on that?
Eduardo nods.
We certainly do. If you like, we can arrange for you to go today.
Dane looks to me. That would be great, I reply.
Excellent. I'll check with the captain to make certain, and we'll have a confirmation for you before you finish breakfast. Thank you, Eduardo.
As soon as the man leaves, Dane gives me a measured look.
You're 100% sure you're good with sailing?
My eyes roll so hard they're in danger of plopping out of my head. First, I already said yes, and second, you swore you would never bring that up again. Besides, I still contend it was all your fault. The deep rumble of Dane's laughter fills the restaurant, and I can't help but smile. 2 years ago. I didn't see the catamaran's boom swinging toward me, but I felt it as soon as it connected with my skull. A flash of pain burst through the haze created by Coco Loco.
Fuck, Cat, watch out!
Dane's warning came too late because my drink was already flying through the air. The frozen coconut concoction splashed me in the face as I went airborne and over the side. Oh, shit. My body hit the ocean like I'd attempted the least graceful cannonball of the century. Salt water invaded my mouth, driving away the rum and coconut as I sputtered and clawed my way to the surface. Before I could get there, an arm wrapped around my waist and yanked me up. I gasped for air and swiped the hair from my eyes and mouth so I could breathe.
Jesus Christ, babe. Are you okay? How's your head?
Dane checked my temple with one hand as he treaded water, keeping us both afloat.
I'm okay.
The words came out as one, and not in the most convincing fashion.
Hold on to me. I got you.
I got you. Why those words sounded so romantic at this moment, I didn't know. Probably because we were eloping here in Costa Rica. Or maybe it was the head injury. Either way, Dane's quick rescue wiped out most of the trauma from going overboard.
You're going to have one hell of a headache later. Shit, I'm so sorry. I tried to warn you, but I didn't see it until—
I squeezed Dane's shoulder with one hand. It's okay. My fault. I wasn't paying attention.
He pressed his lips against my head just before a life ring landed beside us, sending another blast of water into my face.
I got her. She's okay.
Dane bypassed the life ring to swim us both to the ladder hanging over the side.
Wrap your arms around my neck. I'm climbing us both up.
What? Wait! But Dane had already turned around and had me secured in position as he hauled us both out of the water. In my possibly concussed and still inebriated state, I marveled at his strength. But who was I kidding? I'd do that sober.
Damn, man. You dived off a moving boat like you've done it 100 times. It was some Baywatch shit.
The captain's tone took on a hint of awe.
Didn't realize we had such a serious badass on board.
Dane crouched down until my feet hit the deck, before spinning around to enfold me in his arms.
I'd throw myself into a volcano to save her.
Oh my God, that might be the most romantic thing I've ever heard, a woman with a southern drawl said from a few feet away. Newlyweds are so damn sweet.
We're not married yet, I said, the words coming out louder than I'd anticipated. She tilted her head, her mouth dropping open in shock.
Honey, you better lock that man down as quick as you can. They don't make many like that.
Dane's arms tightened around me.
With all due respect, ma'am, she's the one who is irreplaceable and definitely one of a kind. Luckiest man in the world to have her. I'll be putting a ring on her finger before the week is out.
The woman sighed again and pressed a hand to her heart.
So sweet.
Her gaze sharpened on me as Dane turned us toward the bow to find a seat, and she mouthed, "Marry that man." The captain returned with towels, and Dane wrapped me up.
My hero.
He looked down at me, his dark eyes shining.
I'm no hero, but there's nothing I wouldn't do for you. Love you, baby.
Dane lowered his head and pressed his lips to my forehead. Chapter 16. Cat. Present day. Dane follows approximately 2 steps behind me as we head down the dock to the catamaran, ready to spring into action at any moment in case I accidentally trip on the dock and pitch myself into the ocean. It turns out that the dock isn't the problem. The deckhand reaches out to help me into the boat, and my cute gold flip-flop slips on the fiberglass step. Shit. For a moment, I'm 100% certain the next thing I'll feel will be the warm water of the Caribbean. But instead of another less-than-graceful tumble into the ocean, I'm saved by Dane's capable hands gripping me under the armpits and hauling me back onto the wooden surface of the dock. He spins me around to face him, his fingers digging into my sides.
Jesus, babe. You okay?
I nod, more embarrassed than anything else. I'm fine. You know me.
Ditch the sandals first. I'll help you on so we don't have any mishaps.
We both turn, and the deckhand who was offering his assistance to me apologizes profusely.
So sorry, ma'am.
Don't worry about it. All my fault.
But...
No, really. I could probably injure myself watching paint dry. It's okay. Dane helps me aboard, carefully and safely, and the deckhand is still smiling at my comment.
I'm Fedor. I'll be your tour guide and deckhand today, along with Captain Tisdale.
He indicates the man standing at the helm, who gives us a short wave. Dane holds out a hand.
Dane, this is Cat. Wonderful to have you aboard, sweet girl. Today we'll be sailing around the Cays and stopping at some favorite snorkeling spots. If you're interested in a beverage, we have plenty of drinks on board, and I'll also be your bartender. Can I get you anything to get started before we depart?
Dane looks to me.
Cat.
Do you have something fruity? Fedor smiles at me.
We have Belize's favorite fruity cocktail, the Panty Ripper.
He shoots me a wink.
What's in that?
Pineapple juice and coconut rum. Perfect for a morning out on the water.
I'm not sure whether it's because of the suggestive name or despite it, but the drink sounds delicious.
I'll have one of those. Excellent. And for you, sir? Do you have Bloody Mary mix?
Fedor nods.
Indeed we do. Homemade from the resort. I'll get your drinks, and Captain Tisdale will tell you about the safety features of our vessel.
The words safety features are clearly directed at me. Captain Tisdale spends 5 minutes telling us about the life jackets, paddles, and restroom on board before Fedor returns with our drinks. We settle onto a padded seat as the two men prepare to depart. Just as Fedor is tossing off one of the dock lines, a familiar voice shouts from the dock.
Wait! We want to come!
Anya. Footsteps pound down the wooden pier until her swirling hair and long legs come into view. She pauses to catch her breath.
They just told us you were going out. We want to come, too.
Captain Tisdale smiles brilliantly.
Of course, ma'am. We always have more room for a beautiful woman.
Apparently she's his type. Whose type wouldn't she be? Both Fedor and Captain Tisdale hurry to assist Anya in climbing aboard with her giant beach bag. My plan to avoid being anywhere near her while she's in a bikini seems to be failing in spectacular fashion.
Vander is coming as well. He refuses to run anywhere, so it was up to me to make sure you wouldn't leave without him.
For some reason, hearing Anya say this makes me like her a little more.
I'm coming. I just didn't want to risk breaking my neck for a sailboat ride,
comes Vander's bored tone.
Thank you for waiting for me.
So much for a quiet day out on the water for just the two of us. It's going to be fine, I tell myself. Vander crosses to the cushioned bench where we're seated.
I hope you two don't mind the company. Anya's never turned down a chance to go on a booze cruise. She's always the life of the party. You'll see.
Apparently we have no choice. Of course we don't mind. The more the merrier. My response sounds less than sincere. Anya drops onto the bench on the opposite side of Dane.
As long as it doesn't turn into one of those 3-hour tours like Gilligan's Island, you know.
We're already trapped on an island together, so it's not like much else would change,
Vander says, and Anya giggles predictably. About 30 minutes later, Fedor drops the anchor at our first snorkeling spot. Dane hands me my mask and snorkel out of the mesh gear bag he brought, and I get a pair of fins from Fedor, along with Vander. When Fedor holds out a snorkel and mask to Anya, she makes a little moo of disgust.
Not only am I not putting my mouth on something someone else has used, this swimsuit isn't really meant to go in the water.
She stripped down about 10 seconds after we pulled away from the dock, revealing a Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition cover-worthy bikini in bright raspberry shimmery fabric with the teeniest top I've ever seen. When she relocated to a seat in the sun, I got a full view of her booty, courtesy of the thong bottoms.
You mean to tell me that you raced down the dock and forced me to hurry, all so you could lay in the sun, which you could have easily done on the island?
Vander sounds slightly annoyed, but more exasperated. Anya shoots him a smile.
You can pretend you're annoyed, but I know you and boats. The more you're on one, the happier you are.
He rolls his eyes.
She's probably trying to soften me up to buy her a new car.
You know that the new Porsche was just announced, and I look so good in anything German.
They've joked and bickered for the last 30 minutes while Dane and I have watched the Vander Anya show. Maybe this is what we're missing in our relationship? We don't just talk. When is the last time we joked around? When did everything get so heavy all the time? Maybe that's what we really need to get back. Starting today. I'm lost in contemplation when Vander strips off his shirt in front of me. He's fit, with a defined chest and flat stomach, but he's got nothing on Dane's carved physique. Vander catches my absent gaze and shoots me a wink. Crap. I turn away and yank my mask over my head. The last thing I want is to encourage him. We'll just pretend that didn't happen.
Chapter 17. Dane. After 45 minutes in the water following Fedor as he points out fish and coral I've seen 100 times, something interesting finally swims into view. A motherfucking shark. The long, smooth, gray body cuts through the water efficiently, moving closer every second. I'm not a shark expert, but given the dark marking on its fins, I'm guessing it's a black tip rather than a nurse shark. I lift my head from the water to do a quick scan of the surface. The catamaran is less than 100 yards away, but there's no way in hell we can outswim the shark if it decides to attack. Cat's irrational fear of sharks will paralyze her in the water.
Logically, I know that it's just curious and hopefully not a threat, but Kat won't see it that way. My choice is made, and I feel no guilt over what I'm about to do. I've kept things from her since the day we met, all in the name of protecting her, so I might as well add one more thing to the list. I reach out and tap her on the thigh. She turns to me, all pink-masked and cute as hell, and I lift my face out of the water, trying to keep the body of the shark within my line of sight at the same time. Let's go get some water. Take a break. She nods enthusiastically and mumbles something through her snorkel. Fedora and Vander are another 30 feet away, and this may be a dick move, but they're both men who can fend for themselves. Right now, my only concern is my wife and her safety. The black tip swims deeper into the valley between corals as I motion for Kat to swim ahead of me. Could I defend us both against a shark? Probably. I've got a knife in the pocket of my shorts, and short of that, I'm not afraid to put my body between her and its teeth. Up ahead, Captain Tisdale sees us swimming toward him, away from the tour, and I check for the black tip behind us. It's about 20 yards out to the right. If it decides we look like prey, there's no guarantee that we'll be able to make it the rest of the way before it reaches us. We're 15 feet from the ladder when Tisdale spots the fin. He points and catches Kat's attention. I can tell the moment she spots the shark fin. Her eyes go huge behind her mask. Her gaze cuts to me, fear etched in her features behind the rubber and tempered glass. Fuck.
Chapter 18. Kat.
Holy shit. Oh my fucking god. Shark. Shark. Shark.
Every curse word in the English language reverberates through my head as my eyes lock onto the fin heading for us. Ice freezes solid in my chest, and I start to shake. Dane's dark eyes meet mine, and I know in that instant he didn't want a freaking drink of water. He saw the fucking shark and was trying to get me to safety.
Go, he yells, pointing at the catamaran as Captain Tisdale waves me forward and shouts at Fedor and Vander.
Shaking off the paralysis, I paddle as hard as I can, like when you're a kid and you jump off a raft in the middle of the lake but swim back to the ladder as fast as humanly possible because you're afraid of what might get you before you climb out. Or maybe that was just me. But there was never a shark in the water before. Sharks can sense fear, right? If that's true, it's guaranteed he can sense mine right now because I'm about to lose my shit. My splashes become more violent, and I hope I don't look like a wounded seal. Jesus, I'm going to die. I'm not ready to die. Oh my god, what if it gets Dane? I will murder it and make shark steaks and a shark purse and shark slippers. I've officially lost my mind, but when my hands hit the metal of the ladder, I reach down and rip my fins off and throw them at Captain Tisdale, not caring if they actually make it aboard.
Come on, come on.
I'm coming, I scream through my snorkel so it sounds like gibberish. I scramble up the rungs like the fires of hell are after me, but nope, just a motherfucking shark. I yank my mask off and scream at Dane. Hurry! Oh my god, oh my god! I drop onto my knees over the ladder and reach for him, trying to haul him out of the water faster. His gaze meets mine as he tosses his flippers over the side and climbs up.
It's okay, baby. I'm fine.
I throw myself into his arms, shaking uncontrollably. Oh my fucking god, there's a fucking shark out there! Dane squeezes me tight.
It's okay. It's fine. They're not usually aggressive. Just curious.
I pull back and stab a finger into his chest. You knew! You saw it! That's why you wanted to get me in! How could you not tell me? My tone shifts a tad toward accusatory from terrified. Dane grabs a towel and wraps it around me.
Shh!
Do not shh me right now! I will not be shhed! There's a motherfucking shark out there! What about the others? Oh my god! My husband, who apparently doesn't fear sharks or boogeymen or those little geckos that sneak up on you in the showers in the tropics, just wraps his arms around me again.
They'll be fine.
My attention cuts to the water, where I'm anticipating a giant cloud of blood to form any moment when the shark tears them into tiny shreds like in Jaws. Captain Tisdale finally cuts in.
Fedor is trained. He will not panic. And Mr. Cross is correct. They are not usually aggressive. Usually we only see nurse sharks, and very rarely anything else. I saw the black tip,
so I figured it was a good time to move out.
Tisdale's eyes narrow on Dane.
I'm surprised you were able to identify it so easily. You must have spent a lot of time in the ocean in order to do so.
Chapter 19. Dane. Tisdale is looking at me a little more intently than I'd like, but I'm not about to give him the rundown of the two times I've tangled with sharks that were more curious. Once was a hammerhead off the coast of Nicaragua, and the other was a blacktip another time in Belize that decided it was pissed off at the world. We all watch the fin as it moves away from the catamaran and Fedor and Vander.
What's going on?
Anya carefully walks down the side of the deck, returning from the bow where she's been sunbathing. She holds a hand over her mouth to cover a yawn.
Oh, nothing,
Kat says. Just Dane spotting sharks in the water and not mentioning it to me while I swim to safety. She glares at me. I don't know whether to thank you or strangle you.
A shark?
Anya stutters, and her voice breaks. Are you fucking serious? She scans the water, looking for Vander, I assume.
And you just left him behind?
Captain Tisdale, probably sensing the fit she's about to throw, places a hand on Anya's shoulder. It is unlikely the shark will come any closer. The worst thing you can do in a situation like this is panic. They sense fear. Fedor and Vander turn toward the catamaran and make their way back at a leisurely pace. Captain Tisdale steps back and Anya screams. The pitch is so high my eardrums protest. It takes a moment before I realize she is screaming a name. Strangely, it doesn't sound like Vander. His head pops up from the water and turns toward us. Anya starts waving her arms and pointing in the direction where we last saw the fin.
Shark!
Fedor lifts his head and looks around, searching the surface, before he goes under to no doubt try to see it from beneath. Vander surprisingly doesn't panic like his girlfriend. Instead, he follows Fedor's lead and does a scan before increasing the pace of his strokes on his return to the boat. Please, ma'am, just stay calm. I'm sure it will be fine, and you'll all be able to laugh at this memory in the very near future. But the cloud of fear surrounding Anya is palpable. There will be no laughing at this in the near future for her or for Kat, I have a feeling. She's still shaking, wrapped in a towel in my arms. Anya turns to me.
How could you possibly leave them there? What is wrong with you?
I give her a hard look for daring to question my actions. My priority, first, last, and always, is keeping my wife safe. They're men, they can handle themselves.
That'd be sweet if I wasn't worried about Vander being torn to shreds and eaten,
Anya snaps. The men are within a dozen yards of the ladder, and there's no fin in sight. We all breathe easier when they climb on board. Vander shakes the water out of his blonde hair.
That sure got the blood pumping, didn't it?
Anya wraps her arms around herself, her boobs in jeopardy of popping out of her top.
Oh, thank God.
Fedor laughs.
I only saw it for a moment. Looked like a blacktip.
He looks to me.
You get a better look?
Blacktip, for sure. Sorry for leaving you hanging with no warning. I didn't need to explain to him why I did it. It's clear when he looks at Kat and nods.
Not a problem, sir. It is our duty to make sure you both get home safely.
I still can't believe you didn't tell me. Kat shifts in my arms. Would it have helped you get out of the water faster or slower? I ask.
I don't know, but the next time, you know, there's a shark in the water, I feel like I deserve to know. That's not the kind of thing you keep from someone.
Oh, baby, if you only knew. And how the hell am I going to tell you?
I think this calls for a round of drinks, Captain Tisdale announces, and the tension-filled moment lightens.
Yes, to the drinks. I'll take a vodka tonic, light on the tonic, and heavy on the vodka,
Anya says.
Heavy on the rum and light on the pineapple juice for me,
Kat chimes in. I turn to find Vander looking at me with interest.
Not sure whether I should be pissed that you didn't bother to warn me there was a shark in the water, or impressed that you'd sacrifice others to save your wife.
Something about the way he puts it rubs me the wrong way.
I can't apologize for that.
I'd do it again.
He gives me a measuring look. You seem like the kind of guy that could take care of his own. You ever been a soldier?
I've been a lot of things. My reply is vague, but he'll have to live with it.
Indeed. Haven't we all?
His response sounds like there's a lot more going through his head, but I'm not about to try to figure out what he's getting at. After Fedor fixes the drinks, they raise the anchor and we move away from what will be known as the shark spot. Kat ventures out onto the bow, gripping the handholds as I carry both our glasses behind her, ready to toss them in the ocean if it becomes necessary to catch her from falling.
Thankfully, she makes it without incident and sits with her feet dangling over the trampoline netting strung between the two hulls of the catamaran. I hand her the panty ripper before I take the seat beside her. You going to hold this against me for the rest of our lives? She shoots me a look before she takes a sip. I might only have 8.5 more days to hold it against you. The reminder of the deadline I put on what could be the end of our marriage is unwelcome. Fuck the 8.5 days, we both know this isn't over. Kat's blue gaze shines with emotion. Are you sure? I'm not going to force you to stay with me if you're not happy. I might be selfish in some ways, but I'd never do that to you. You'd give me up even if you still loved me, if you thought it would make me happier, wouldn't you? Of course, that's what love is.